Before we move on into the map of relationships, I'd like to share some of the dead ends, some of the lost paths that I've tried and witnessed. I call this section, Well, We Tried. I first took courses in marriage counseling in 1972, during my university graduate years. Now, in those days, the divorce rate was soaring. Well past 35% of first marriages ended in divorce, and it looked like that rate would continue upward. Marriage counselors were using what they called conflict resolution in an effort to help, and it didn't seem to be helping at all. Professionals were frantically trying to find out what would help, what would stop the rising divorce rate, so they focused on the oft-repeated statement by divorcing people, I married the wrong person. And they tried three solutions. First, they worked with legislators to make divorce easier, to make it simpler to get away from Mr. or Mrs. Wrong. And we now have no-fault divorce and divorce due to irreconcilable differences. Looking back, I think making divorce easy proved to be a serious mistake, but it seemed the right thing at the time. Second, professionals created many tests and questionnaires to help people pick the right person, the compatible person. These began to appear in popular magazines and gave rise to those thousands of dating and matchmaking services selling the line, Find Your Perfect Match. And the third thing they tried to save existing marriages, they offered counseling to the distressed partner to help them feel more relaxed and to give them support at making good decisions. It only took 6 years to discover that these were three dead ends. By 1978, we had the following answers. First, we found that when people divorce easily, they tend to remarry quickly. And they will remarry someone more or less as difficult as their first partner. A woman who marries an abusive husband will marry another the second time around. A man who marries a cold, shrewish wife will marry another one. This tendency to repeatedly marry Mr. or Ms. Wrong is highly predictable and has been seen over and over. Domestic violence shelters who help a victimized partner to get away often end up wringing their hands when their clients proceed to marry another abusive partner. The sad conclusion was that people tend to fall in love with the wrong person over and over again. Secondly, we found that when people are put together with their perfect match, they are almost always not interested. Very few perfect matches will produce the spark that people are seeking. In general, you won't fall in love with the person a dating service selects for you. The conclusion was that whatever makes for a perfect match, it is not compatibility. Thirdly, we found that the divorce rate goes up if counseling is applied to married individuals. I recall one study in Michigan, I think, where they found that the divorce rate doubled for those receiving individual therapy. The conclusion that individual counseling increases the likelihood of divorce frightened many professionals. In 1978, marriage therapists themselves found a big surprise. They, the marriage therapists, got divorced at a much higher rate than the general public. I recall a conference of 200 or so therapists. The leader asked for a show of hands of how many were currently divorced. And then he stopped, and he asked, wait a minute, how many are married? And if I remember right, only about 20 hands rose. The conclusion was that marriage therapists didn't know any better what to do about making a happy marriage than the general public. And now, for my biggest surprise, in that same year, my wife of 17 years, mother of our three children, announced that she was divorcing me.
Oh, divorce hurts. Separating hurts. I had never felt so much pain before. I visualize this pain, by the way, at this point, as a shark bite to the stomach, except you don't see the blood. You'll survive, but it takes a long time to get back on your feet. Divorced people know this. They're usually pretty sympathetic and helpful. The undivorced may not be very useful to you at times like these. In my pain, I went to find a book, an instruction manual on divorce, and I found a pretty good one. Here's what I learned. Pain is normal. Splitting up hurts. The pain lasts for several years. Both partners feel the pain, though when you are in pain, you may not be able to see the other person's pain. The active one, the divorcer, may feel a bit less pain, perhaps 5% less. Breaking up hurts whether you're officially married or not. Just living together intimately sets up the pain. The longer you live together, the more the pain, but it only takes about 6 months of living together for that pain potential to reach its maximum. Can you avoid the pain? Well, the book said that only those who remarried at once avoided the pain altogether. But, it added, there was a catch. If you reconnect right away, the chance that you will have the same kind of trouble with the second person is almost 100%. Now, this last interested me. I was certainly aware, as my divorce moved along, of the troubles I had been in. The book spoke of patterns of troubles. Ah, selecting the wrong person, I thought. Not just the wrong person, but a unique type of wrong person. So remarry quickly and marry the wrong person again, right away. And then I thought, was there a long line of wrong persons out there waiting for me? Ah, wow. So I read on. The book said that the longer you wait before forming a new relationship, the better the chance of avoiding the same troubles. Statistically, women, it said, should wait 3 years or more to avoid the same trouble. Men, the book said, were slower and needed to wait at least 5 years to avoid the wrong person. Oh, so I set my watch for 5 years. And so, for a long time I waited, studied, and I read self-help books. I went to marriage seminars. Since they all said relationships involve skills, I practiced. I dated often. I was terribly lonely. As a single father with 3 teenagers at home, I was a mess. But I survived. My kids managed too, but not probably with much help from me. This was a pretty sad and tough time. At last my watch went off. 5 years were up. Now I understood, or thought I did, what I had done in my first marriage that had contributed to the trouble. I believed I had changed my ways. I was ready. I told a friend that I was looking for a mate, and she arranged a blind date with Sandra. We met, talked forever. We married a year later. 1 month after our wedding, a friend of mine came to visit and to meet my new wife. Now, he'd know my first wife well. After meeting Sandra, he took me aside. Says he, "She's the same woman again, Al." Oh, my heart sank. And let me share with you that in about 5 years, Sandra and I were fighting in exactly the same pattern, in exactly the same way that I had fought in my first marriage. 5 years of waiting, of studying, of learning, and here I was back at the same place again. Was I facing divorce once more? Was I facing the same pain again? This, then, was my personal experience with the blind alley of divorce. But rather than divorce this time, I began a stubborn effort to find out what was going on and what I needed to do about it. I wanted a great relationship. I was going to get it. But how? It was during this time, around 1990, that I first read Getting the Love You Want, a book by Harville Hendrix. That one book provided me the clues that directed me out of the blind alley of divorce and helped me to begin the next part of my journey. I'd like to thank Harville and the Imago trainers throughout the world who helped me over the next several years. Some of them are my colleagues and good friends. This was an amazing period of learning. Over the next decade, with great effort and with great support, I think Sandra and I made it to the relationship
of our dreams. And now that I can look back and see the paths we followed, I'm able to share them with you. So let's begin now to start looking at the actual landscape of the map of relationships. I have said many times that I believe that Sandra and I have made it. But, you may ask, where did we make it to? What is meant by the relationship of your dreams? The first answer to this question came from a wonderful outcome study done during the early 1980s. In this kind of study, researchers first find the result they want, and then they find out how people got it. Since this was a study about relationships and marriage, the researchers first had to define the marriage that everyone wanted, the goal. And so they asked a large number of college-age people what they wanted in a marriage. The thousands of answers were collected, analyzed, and using a process called factor analysis, a simple word picture of the relationship of everyone's dream was created. I've shared this word picture with several thousand couples in my office, and it always works. I'll share it with you. This ideal marriage relationship has four traits. Three of them form a triangle, showing that each trait is equally important, and that each is valuable only if the other two are present. But one trait, the fourth, is important above all. The three equal value traits are intimacy, passion, and commitment. The standalone trait is safety.
In my office, I ask every couple to share what these terms mean to them. Here are my favorite definitions.
Intimacy means being buddies and not being strangers. People want to feel understood and they want to feel close. I think the phrase "into me see" catches this term. I think the song for the TV show Cheers, A Place Where Everybody Knows My Name, also does the term justice. People want freedom from loneliness. People want connection. Passion seems to mean excitement and energy. People want to be close, but not to be bored. They want to feel fully alive. Commitment means stick-to-itiveness. People want to keep going when things get tough. They don't want to give up easily. Stubborn is a good word, stubborn for intimacy and passion. And I think reliable is another good word for commitment. Now, those three terms go together, but safety stands alone. My favorite definition of safety is that my blood pressure lowers when I see my partner, or my muscles start to relax when I see my partner, or when I see my partner, I sigh with relief. Safety means that wonderful word, at peace, a place where you can scratch where it itches and where you can say anything and be okay. Okay, now, try this four-trait goal on for size: intimacy, passion, commitment, but above all, safety. Now, let's get back to that outcome study. Having the goal in hand, the researchers next interviewed a large number of couples where one was aged 60 to 65. They asked them about their relationship and compared their answers with the four-trait goal. There was good news, and there was bad news. The good news was that there were some couples who had it all: intimacy, passion, commitment, and, above all, safety. Some had managed to achieve what all the young people wanted. The bad news was that it was only 4%. Only 1 in 20 got it. 19 out of 20 couples had become lost along the way. This was staggering and didn't say much for the quality of marriages in our country. I remember when I heard of this study, by the way, I determined to get myself into that 4%, come hell or high water. Next, in the outcome study, the researchers interviewed the successful 4% to find out what had they done to make it. Two results came out immediately. Every couple in the 4% had started their relationship by falling in love, and, after some time, every couple had begun to struggle with each other, had begun to fight. The first result may not surprise you, but perhaps it should. In the world, falling in love is not the normal way to start a marriage. Most marriages around the world are arranged marriages. And before you scoff, the divorce rate in such arranged marriages is quite low, 7% or less. In cultures where falling in love has become the selection criteria, the divorce rate is as much as 50%. And one of the major exports of our country is Hollywood, which promotes romance and preaches falling in love. Even so, in the outcome study, every couple who reached the successful 4% had started their relationship by some level of falling in love. And I think this is important. The second result, that all successful couples had begun to struggle, surprised everyone. Until then, fighting was considered a sign of a troubled marriage. I recall the articles that were now published in magazines about how fighting was normal. The map of relationships, therefore, is a picture, the best I can make, of how relationships really work, of what is really going on in them, and which you can use to plan efficiently and accurately what you want to do. And you can also use it to understand what is going on for those around you, your parents, your neighbors, your friends, your kids.